Well, we're in for a great teaching tonight with Pastor Stephen, and let me pray for us, and then we'll get started. Father, we just come to you today, and we thank you, Father, for all the many blessings you've given us, Father. We've all had stuff going on, Father, but you continue to be so faithful to us, Father, for you never leave us nor forsake us, Father. And whether we're in the valleys or we're up on the hilltops, Father, in our walk, Father, we know that you're there for us, Father, and that you'll always be there with us. And that just, as I relay to everybody here at the sound of my voice, Father, the word that you put on my heart tonight was encourage, Father. And not to discourage, Father, that we're coming to a close of this teaching, but just to encourage us to continue our walks, Father, and just to continue to plug into this church and to pour out to them as we have been poured into, Father. And that we just plug in and find that spot in our ministry, Father, that we can pour into people and do work for your kingdom, Father. We thank you for everything you've done for us, Father, everything you will continue to do for us, Father. I just ask that you be with Pastor Stephen tonight as he teaches us and brings your word, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, guys. Well, hey, I missed you. Last week, none of us were here, but the 2 weeks before that, I was next door. And so I haven't seen you guys for like 3 weeks. And so I'm glad to be back with you guys. And now, thanks, Dan. I appreciate that. And tonight and next week, and that's it. I can't believe it. Jim's kind of doing this. What was that about, Jim? You didn't know if you missed me or not? You kind of missed me? Well, I missed you guys a lot. Well, guys, it's good to be back with you. One of the things I wanted to share with you real quick, Miss Jolene brought this to me. Stephanie Elazar. I've always struggled with that last, sorry. So if I butchered it, I apologize. She started Grow Track 3 with us, but man, she has had some difficult medical issues this semester. And so she was here for the first couple weeks, and then she just battled, and she was in the hospital for a time. And you guys, as a class, we filled out a card for her, and she sent a card back to Miss Jolene in our class. I just thought I'd just read this to you guys. But she said, "Thank you to my Grow Track family. I truly have missed growing with you this past semester. Thank you for the beautiful card, but mostly for your prayers. Please continue to pray that I turn everything over to the Lord, to our Lord, our loving Father. Love, Stephanie." So I thought that was cool. I wanted to share that with you guys. It meant a lot to her that we were praying and that we sent the card. And so she's doing much, much better. And I hope she gets to jump right back into Grow Track 3 next semester and finish it up. So, well, guys, I can't believe it. Next week, we are done. And this is wild that this semester has gone by so fast. And it's been intense. It's been fast. But I know you guys have been growing. And not just growing this semester. It's just really neat. You guys will forever be very special to Pastor Talia and I, because you were the guinea pigs, you know, all the way through for the last year and a half. And but thank you for pushing through with us. We're so proud of you guys. And next week, as Jeremy was saying, it will be special. It'll be a commissioning service. And I say that because we're ready to commission you guys and send you out. A lot of you guys, again, I look around the room, most of, if not all of you, are serving in some capacity here, but God's got more. And we're going to talk about a little bit about that tonight. But God has a specific purpose, calling on your life. And we just want to send you out, and we're going to celebrate and pray over you guys. And it's going to be a really special moment next week. And I know Pastor Talia is excited about it too. We'll both be here, and it's going to be neat. So, but let's dive into tonight, guys. Throughout Scripture, we find so many wonderful examples of people that have modeled so much for us, right? We learn so much from the individuals in Scripture. Tonight, we're going to look at an individual that models for us as we kind of bring this to a close. We've talked so much to you guys about the theme of this. We've pushed this idea of living lives of deep obedience that cost us something. And we've really, the last couple weeks, been talking to you guys about your calling, about what God's called you to, the purpose that he has for you. And the thing is, you do have a calling, guys. If you haven't got that yet, let me just say it one more time. You do have a calling on your life. You do not have to be a pastor. And Dan, that's incredible, man. Credentialed for almost 50 years, that's incredible. But you don't have to be credentialed with the Assemblies of God to have a calling on your life and be in ministry. You don't have to be in full-time ministry on staff at a church. God has a calling for every single one of you in this room. And tonight we're going to touch on that, but we're going to look at the life of somebody in the Old Testament that's going to kind of model for us how to not handle some things a little bit, and then also how to handle it, okay? And we're going to look at Joseph from the Old Testament. Raise your hand if you're familiar with Joseph from the Old Testament, right? And we're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 37. I'm not going to read the entire chapter just for time's sake, but I'm going to kind of run through it. I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with his story. But basically, we find Joseph at this point in his life, they say about 17 years old, right? He's this older teenager. And he's the youngest of who? Of Jacob, right? Jacob is his father, and he's got all these brothers. And all of these brothers are not some of the nicest guys around, right? Am I right? You can read previous chapters, and you can read how Reuben, the oldest son, kind of messes things up. He kind of gets in some trouble and makes some bad choices. But we find Joseph here, and he's a young 17-year-old guy, and his dad loves him. His dad loves him so much, he kind of shows favoritism towards this youngest son because he had him in his older age, and he favors this guy, and he doesn't really hide it, does he? And in fact, he gets him this pretty cool, amazing coat, right? We all know about this robe, this coat, and it's elaborate. It's nice. And his brothers are already jealous. They don't like this. And there's so many times I read scripture and I'm just like, I just wish I could have been there, you know, like just funny moments, really. And I think about this idea that these brothers already don't like this little guy. And now they know that dad loves him so much. And now he comes strutting out with this nice coat, this robe that his dad has gotten him. And he gets sent out to the fields to check on his brothers. And he loves the Lord. He's trusting the Lord with his life, and the Lord has spoken some specific dreams and visions to him about his life. And this kind of young, dumb 17-year-old boy doesn't think through it too well, and he goes up to these brothers that don't like him very much and are already jealous, and he decides to tell them this vision, and that vision speaks to the idea that, hey, I'm going to be elevated above you guys, and you're going to bow down to me. How cool is that, you know? And I just wish I could have been there to see his brothers' faces like, I'm going to punch this guy in the face, you know? And I'm going to steal his coat, you know? And just, but it's this whole scenario, and, you know, whether he was doing it on purpose to kind of rub it in their face or he was just totally oblivious and was so excited, you know, he does this, he makes this choice, and his brothers have just had enough, right? We read about that. And they basically rip that robe off of him. They want to kill him at first, but the older brother, who's really kind of messed up his life, steps in. For whatever reason, he steps in, Reuben does, and says, look, let's not kill him. Let's just throw him in this big old cistern over here, and which he could die from that. Who knows how deep it was, but let's just throw him in there and leave him, right? But let's not actually kill him. So they throw him in there, and then we know the rest of the story, right? He goes on to be, sold into slavery, right? He heads to another land that he's not familiar with. And so they go back to their dad, Jacob. And they killed an animal, tore the robe up a little bit, put blood on it, and basically said that they lied to their dad, said he was killed. And the dad is obviously, Jacob is just distraught, and he just he's in a horrible grief because of it. He thinks his son has died. And if you continue to read Genesis, we see Joseph walk through these incredibly tough circumstances that he gets thrown into. Right? Gets thrown into a hole, gets thrown into slavery, gets accused of things that he did not do, and gets thrown in prison. But yet his character and his integrity keeps getting him back to where God wants him to be. And God still has this calling on his life through all of these horrible situations that he gets thrown into that he had no control over, and yet he still keeps his integrity. He still keeps his character. He still trusts the Lord, and he still has this calling on his life, and he just keeps going. And God elevates him, and that vision does come true one day, doesn't it? Right? And his brothers and his dad, all them, they show up, and he saves their life. When he didn't have to, he could have just remembered way back when he was 17 and got thrown in a hole and sold into slavery, but he didn't. And just a neat story as you continue to read through Genesis and look at his life from Genesis 35 or so till Genesis 50, you read all about him. And, you know, Joseph was not called to minister in the temple. but he was called, right? And I say that to just say that we must remember that God has plans for all of us, right? And not all of us are called to minister within the four walls of a church full time as a pastor, like we do on staff, okay? But we are called. We're called to do something for God with our lives. And I just want to encourage you guys tonight. I'm going to try to have a little bit of feedback. There's going to be a moment where I want to just talk to you a little bit, let you talk a little bit, kind of to share what God's speaking to you, if you're okay with that. I'm not going to put the mic in front of your face and make you do that, those of you that don't like that. But I'm going to offer an opportunity for you guys to share. But I'm also going to share my story a little bit, if that's okay, because the more I prepared for this, the more I've just seen over 20 years of ministry. We've been through some wild rides, haven't we, Ellie? And my wife's in here. And we just have held on to that calling when at times it was hard, right? And so I'm going to share a little bit just from my heart, my story too. But let me say this. You know, God has a calling for every believer. Every believer, right? Not just in this room, but every believer. In fact, did you guys know that you in this room, you're a solution to something in this world, right? You're a solution to some situation. You are a solution to a people group, maybe, right? Wherever that is. Now, it might not be that you have a chapter in the Live Dead book and you're overseas, but that people group could simply be your neighborhood, your family, your coworkers, right? But you're a solution, whatever that may be. And God has called you and only you to accomplish that, right? He's gifted you. He's made you just the way that you are to be a solution. You're calling to that situation, to that area, to that moment in your life, to this season in your life, okay? And we have the gamut in this room. I'm sure we've got people that maybe you have known a calling on your life for years and years and years, and you're starting, maybe you've really tried to follow that your whole life, and God's used you in that. Some of you, maybe you have felt a calling on your life for a specific area years and years and years ago, but you've been too scared to really go after it for whatever reason. Or your life took a detour, and you're just now in a new season of life, and you're returning, and you're growing in your relationship with the Lord, but you're still maybe not pursuing that calling, and you should. It doesn't matter what season of life you're in. For some of you, maybe you just recently come to really serve the Lord the last few years, and now you've gone through Grow Track 3, and I don't want you leaving Grow Track 3 without, if you don't already know the calling that you have on your life, I want you to leave knowing that you do have a calling, and that you just need to keep going after God to know what that calling is. Does that make sense? So we have people probably in all those different scenarios, and God's not done with this. The question is not, are you called? The question is what are you called to do for him? And all of you are, right? And many of you, you're serving here at Timber Creek, and maybe that calling is for you, again, like we've been saying, is to step up in leadership, to be team leaders, to be team coaches, to be group leaders. Everybody nod your head and say, I want to be a group leader. Right? I'm just kidding. I'm sort of. But I oversee groups. That's why I'm saying that. We've got some really great group leaders in this room. But it may be to full-time ministry for some of you. It may be to teach. It may be to preach. Ellie's looking at me. It may be to be in early childhood. Right, Ellie? Right? She's like, yeah. That's why she's really here, to make sure I say that. But you are called. You are called. Let's look at Joseph. And here's just a couple things quickly about Joseph and about, more specifically, chapter 37 and what he went through in that situation and how he handled his vision and his dream. It all started with a vision from God, right, that God had given him. And that was an amazing thing. That was a good thing. God had given him this great vision, right? The vision was a means through which God was calling him to do ministry, the work of God. He didn't know how that was all going to turn out, but God had given him this vision, right? But he understood the main idea of the vision, but lacked the knowledge of the details on how it would all unfold. And maybe that encourages some of you in the room, because you're like, I feel called. I just don't know how this is all going to happen. I've been kind of thinking about this for years and praying about it, and I really don't know how this is all going to work out. Well, I pray that you're encouraged by that, just as Joseph had to realize that, right? Joseph really, at that moment, at 17 years old, when he shares the vision with his brothers and it gets him in trouble, right? He was insensitive and immature to tell his brothers about that dream at that time. He really was, right? The dream's purpose was to give Joseph a glimpse of the difficult future that he was going to have so he could face it with faith. That's what the dream was for, right? It was kind of for him. And it was not meant to give him a reason to brag or to feel superior to his brothers. Okay, real important to remember that, okay? Okay, number two, how he handled the vision determined his course of preparation. Because God wanted to prepare him for the ministry he called him to, right? And how he handled that vision, what God had given him, the dream he'd given him, determined his course. Had he known the details, do you think he would have been so proud and quick to share it with others, especially his brothers? No, probably not, right? He probably would have thought differently about that and wouldn't have shared it. But he did, and it took him down this other path, right? The vision was a plan from God about a distant season, right? And let that encourage some of you guys. Maybe you're trying to figure it out right now. I've been in full-time ministry now for 20 years. I got called to ministry when I was 13. And there's still some things that I'm asking God, like, okay, like, when am I going to see that? When am I going to experience that? And it's for a different season, right? And everything I'm going through right now is preparing me for that other season, right? And every difficult moment I've gone through in church ministry and in life has helped prepare me for the next season, right? And it's the same for you guys, right? And I bet if I pass the microphone around, a lot of you could speak to that and share stories and how God prepared you in a difficult season to use you in your calling the next season, right? And for some of you, that's happening right now, and that's okay, right? The preparation can be a very difficult time, but God is at work, and let him use you, let him speak to you, okay? The hearts and minds of those around him, of Joseph, right, were not ready for its truths, right? His brothers, their hearts were not ready for the truths of that vision that he shared. They didn't understand, nor did Joseph really, at 17 years old, that the vision was not about Joseph being worshipped and adored or revered by his father and brothers, right? Maybe he thought that at the time, you know, but it wasn't about that, guys. It wasn't about that at all. In fact, the vision was actually about 7 years of horrible drought and devastation. If you read further down, right, it's really about those 7 years of horrible drought and devastation that he would walk through and God would use him in incredible ways. The vision was about God's plan to save people from death. And guys, don't forget that your calling, whatever it may be, and even if you think it's insignificant, number one, it's not, but it is always about God's plan, right? It's always about God's plan to save people from death, right? Okay? God's visions, his calls to ministry are always, always about plans that are to save his people from death. They're not about bringing you attention, guys. It's not, right? It's about living dead, amen? Dead to our ambitions, dead to what we want and what we think we want to do. I remember 13 years old, I was in Montana, in Kalispell, Montana, up near Glacial National Park, and I lived in Montana for 1 year when I was 13. Moved from Beaumont, Texas, all the way to Billings, Montana, and I was at youth camp. And on the fourth night, the last night of the week, I remember going to dinner and playing basketball on the basketball court and then going to service. Now, if you would have walked up to me, to this 13-year-old little blonde-headed boy, looks a lot like Landon Courtney does right now, and you grabbed the basketball and said, hey, what do you want to do with your life? I would have told you, I want to play shortstop for the Los Angeles Dodgers, and because I just did at that time. I was a good shortstop, but I couldn't hit the ball, so I don't think that was ever going to happen. I couldn't hit the ball for nothing, but... And I wanted to be a fireman. And I would have told you straight, that's what I want to do. But that night I walked in off the basketball court and I went into that service. I don't remember what the guy preached about, but at the end of it, there were kids down at the altar praying. And I was sitting there and the man said, I feel like some of you guys at the altar, some of you sitting in your seats, you know, you're feeling God calling you into the ministry and you need to come down here and pray. We want to pray with you. And I just got up. I don't know why, but I just got up and I went down there and I began to pray and God gave me a picture of people that I knew that didn't know Jesus, mainly family members. And I began to cry and just at the idea of thinking, my heart was breaking for them that they don't know Jesus and that they could live an eternity apart from Jesus, right? And I just say that it's always about his plans. It's always about saving people from death and saving people from hell. Our calling is about that, guys. It's not about us. It's not about playing shortstop for the Los Angeles Dodgers, because that's not going to happen, right? But it was about what God had called me to do. And from that moment on, and I tell you what's amazing about that night is I was 13. I was really young, and I was kind of confused when I got up from the altar, because our youth pastor said, I want the whole youth group to go to the back of the room, and we're going to pray together. And he put us in a big circle. And I was just kind of trying to process in my mind what had happened. And I'm like, did I hear that right? Am I supposed to really do this with my life? And he was walking around praying for everybody. And he got to me, and he was praying for me. And he said, thank you, God, for calling Stephen into the ministry tonight. And I was like, wow. And it was just confirmation that God was actually calling me to go into full-time ministry. So from that point on, I knew. And I just use that as an example to say, but it started with that. It started with this, for me, a picture of, there's people that don't know Jesus. And whatever capacity, God, I want to serve you to make sure that people go and spend eternity with you and not apart from you, right? Okay. Number three, speaking of Joseph again, his untimely proclamation to his brothers about his visions cost him that ornated robe, that beautiful robe that he had, that stylish coat that he had that his brothers didn't have. It cost him that, because he spoke out too soon. And so when that robe was presented, the robe represented the source of his identity, right? It was like, hey, this is who I am. My dad gave me this. I'm special. My dad loves me. It was his identity. It represented his significance. He's like, ooh, look at me. I'm more special than my brothers, right? It was significant. It represented the value, right? When he lost that robe, apparent logical means through which vision would be fulfilled. Like this robe represented so much for him, but his untimely proclamation of those visions, it cost him that special robe, right? And it was stripped from him. And we have to be careful. I think about this in this situation. You know, a lot of times we need to be careful, because when God calls us to something, we don't want to just jump out there too quick. I think about, as Joseph did, when I was 17 years old, shortly after I was called to ministry, my mom was walking through a difficult time. And we went to see another church at a nearby town, another pastor, just for counseling. He ended up praying for my mom. Well, I was there with her, and he prayed for me too. He began to pray for me, and I felt like God gave me a picture as a 17-year-old guy. I knew I was called to the ministry. At that point, I really felt called to youth ministry, to be a youth pastor one day. And he gave me this picture of standing kind of on the back of a stage, an outdoor stage, and just a sea of either kids or people just worshiping God. Now, my first thoughts as a 13-year-old kid feeling called to ministry was like, wow, it's going to be me one day. I'm going to speak in front of all these kids, you know, or all these people. And I felt a little proud about that, but at the same time, I was like, I don't know what this is. And I thank the Lord for giving me some wisdom, even at 17 years old, not to jump after that too quickly. Well, for 20 years, I held on to that. And I literally asked the Lord, like, what is this dream? Because I went into youth ministry. I went to Bible college, met my wife. We got married. We went to Kansas to be youth pastors. And here's the deal. I love to teach. I love to preach. I hope I'm getting better at it. I think I'm getting better at it. But nobody was knocking down my door to be a youth evangelist. Nobody was calling Stephen Courtney to come speak to hundreds and thousands of teenagers or people. It just wasn't happening, okay? And that's okay. I'm all right with that. But nobody was knocking on my door to do that. And so I just continued to, God, what is that? You know, I was happy in ministry and things were happening. We transitioned from Kansas to go to France to be missionaries. We were there for 2 years. Then I was a senior pastor for 2 years in Beaumont. And then we ended up going to California and then coming here. And I remember even getting here, I was still asking, like, it was just in the back of my head every once in a while, like, God, what was that dream about? Because it was very clear. It was very real. And I'm just so thankful that I didn't jump out there and do that, because like I said, nobody was knocking down my door to be a big speaker at a big youth event, you know, or whatever. I could have proclaimed that. I could have ran after that because it looked neat and looked shiny and cool. But I just waited and patiently waited for the Lord to speak that to me. Well, 2 years ago, don't know if y'all remember, Pastor Jeremy went to Africa about 2 years ago. Do you guys remember that? I don't know if you remember that. He got the opportunity to speak with some other pastors there in Africa. He came back from that, and we were in staff meeting. And he begins to tell this story to the staff of a vision he had, or a dream that he had when he was a teenager around the same time I was, of standing on a stage, an outdoor stage, speaking to a ton of people. And as he said it, I kind of got chills, like, man, that sounds very similar to my dream. But for him, it was even more descriptive. It was dark faces. He was in Africa, and he was crying because he, all these years, had been wondering what that dream was about. And it had become, finally came to fruition and became real to him. As he's telling this, God spoke very clearly to me, Stephen, there's a reason you were on the back of the stage in that dream I gave you. I've called you to lift up the arms of the Jeremy Yanceys. And through my time in ministry, Ellie and I have just gained more and more of a heart and a calling to people in ministry. Like, we're on staff as pastors, but we just love other ministers. And we know how hard and how tough ministry can be. And we feel called to lift up the arms and encourage and help those in ministry. And so it was a beautiful moment for me after 20 years. Now, I could have jumped into that, kind of like Joseph did, and just proclaim it real fast and got myself kind of down a different path. But God is faithful. And I just want to encourage you guys that sometimes He gives you a calling. He gives you something, and it's 20 years later that He begins to put the pieces together. Does that make sense to you guys? Yeah. Number four, the season of preparation set him up and equipped him for the fulfillment of the vision. That preparation was hard. If you know the story of Joseph, he went through some tough stuff, but it was all preparation that led him for the next season, for the next thing. And the same is true for all of us, God. Guys, you're in a season of preparation maybe right now. Maybe you've been in that season for a very, very long time. But He's setting you up. He's equipping you for the fulfillment of the vision, the calling that He has for your life. Make sense to you guys? That's looking at Joseph. So what does that mean for us? Let's transition to us, to you guys in the room tonight, for all of us today. Number one, it all starts with a vision, just like it did with Joseph. It all starts with a vision, a call from God. Those of you that you're like, you know, I don't know if I have a call. Yes, He does have a call for you, and I want to encourage you, don't be discouraged. Keep praying about that. Keep seeking Him. If He hasn't begun to show that to you yet, pray, because God wants to use you. He's called you. You know, I shared kind of that moment for me when I felt like God called me into the ministry. And that experience for me, does anybody want to share just, you're pretty sure God has called you to this and what that calling was like? Anybody want to share kind of a moment? Miss Jolene. Wow. Yeah, absolutely. Well, those are so good things. And let me keep moving here. We're short on time. I want to let you guys share all night if we could. Number two. Kind of looking at us, understanding how you handle the vision, the call, will determine your course of preparation. That's so important. And I wish we had more time, but in your faith in action at the end, it's going to ask some questions like, how are you handling the call right now? You know, and we want you to take time this week to think about that, the call that God has on your life. And some of you may be holding it loosely. Some of you may be holding on to it very tightly. Some of you may have completely, you've got it stiff-armed like a football player. It's like, that's scary. I don't want that. That looks too much. That's going to cost me too much. But we really want you to reflect on that. How are you handling the call that God's put on your life? What are you doing with it? You know, have you had wrong motives in proclaiming it to others, kind of like Joseph did there? But have you shared those things that should be pondered in your heart alone? There's some questions that we want you guys to think through, and we'll talk about that at the end when we close tonight. But number three, and this really sticks out to me, going back to his robe. Oftentimes, before entering the preparation season, we are stripped of our richly ornamented robes. That's really important. And in your notes, it says our former identity can be taken away in that preparation season. And that's painful. That's hard. Who we thought we were or we should be. Another thing that can happen is our significance and value. He will cause you to get to a place when you realize that He is the source of your true significance. We can forget that sometimes. And sometimes we have to be stripped of things to remember that He is the source, right? And then finally, God doesn't do this to hurt us, but to ensure that He is the true source of our identity, significance, value, means of vision, and fulfillment. This piece of this stood out to me so much because, as I told you guys, Ellie and I, we got married. We were youth pastors for 5 years in Kansas. We spent 1 year raising funds to go to France, and we spent 2 years in France, part of a team that started an international English-speaking church. And it was an incredible moment, time that we had. From there, we transitioned back to Beaumont, Texas, where I became a senior pastor. Because in the Assemblies of God, when you're a youth pastor, you just assume one day you're going to be a senior pastor. So you just kind of naturally do that. God opened that door, and I did it. Hardest thing I ever did in ministry. It was tough. And but we saw some great things happen. And then God just said, your time's done there after 2 years, and that was tough. And we walked away. We resigned in March of 2012, 2013, something like that. I can't remember the dates. But we resigned. And really, I thought in my mind at that moment, I thought, okay, I don't really feel led to be a senior pastor. I was starting to get that vision for helping other pastors. And so I was like, I feel called to be, I love groups. I love kind of what I do here. I was like, I was looking for a position. And what we thought would just take a few months, right, of finding another church position somewhere and move there with our family turned into 18 very long, long months out of the ministry. And I tell you what, it was difficult. But this resonates with me so much. I was stripped of all of it. And because God needed to heal my heart from just tough ministry, some stuff going on, but God needed my full attention, and boy, did He get it. I mean, we sold our house, and we didn't know what to do, so we moved to Springfield, Missouri, where we went to college, and her grandparents lived there, and we just had friends there. My best friend that I grew up with, he had a business. He said, hey, you can work here. I was working with FedEx Freight at the time as a pastor of a small church in Beaumont. Did that for medical insurance, you know, and it helped kind of supplement things, and I transferred to Springfield. When I got to Springfield, it was the coldest winter in 30 years, and I worked on a dock on a forklift, and I woke up at 2:30, 2:45 in the morning, and I drove, because it's not Lufkin. You got to drive about 20, 30 minutes to get to the other side of town, and I went and I started work at 4 a.m. on the docks. Sometimes, I remember one day it was minus 6, and I put on as much stuff as I could, and I would work that dock on the forklift for a while. And then I would do that till about 10 or 11 in the morning. And then I would get off, I'd clock out, and then I'd go to my best friend's warehouse, and I'd work in this warehouse till 5 o'clock every day. And then I'd go home, and I'd try to go to bed around 8, 8:30, because I knew I had to get up at 2:30, right? And I had three small kids and a wife, and I wasn't making a whole lot of money and burning through savings. And we probably interviewed with multiple churches, multiple opportunities. It wasn't that the opportunities weren't there. It was just that God was like, quit. I need to talk to you. I need to get your attention for a while. And it was hard. And when we had moved to Springfield in like July of that summer, the first Wednesday night at this church, James River, they have a prayer meeting, and we went to it that night. And this guy, one of their staff members, gets up, and he shares a story that's almost identical to ours. And we go down to pray, and I'm just praying. And I felt the Lord just say to me, if I take it all away from you, because I have, am I still enough? If I take it all away from you, Stephen, everything that you know familiar, am I still enough? Because I'm really what it's all about. And I was so broken, and I was like, yeah, absolutely, you know? And I wish I could say that the next week we got a call from a church and we left. No, that was July, and it wasn't until God, obviously, I'm a knucklehead, and it took a little bit longer for me. But we tried to make some things happen, and God just kept shutting doors. And then finally, about February of that next year, we found out about this church in Bakersfield, California, and I talked to the pastor, and this pastor sounded, he was a good guy, but he sounded really tired. The position he was hiring, the guy had just left and took 100 families and started his own church down the street. And so I went to, I was going to fill this position. And he hired me, and he sounded tired and beat up, but that's what I felt called. I was like, I get to lift the arms of this guy. So we took a position in Bakersfield, California, and in June, on Ellie's birthday, we left Springfield, Missouri, drove all day, stayed the night somewhere. The next day, we ate lunch in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I get a phone call. And we're feeling all good because 18 months out of ministry, right? And he calls me. It's the pastor. And he says, hey, I just need to let you know I resigned last night. And I'm like, dude, I'm in Albuquerque, New Mexico, man. I'm literally halfway between Springfield, Missouri. And he's like, well, I mean, if you want to go back, I understand. I'm like, what am I going back to? I'm not going back to the cold forklift. I'm not going back, you know. And I remember at a gas station getting out of the car and parking it, and the kids are like, what's going on? We're like, just watch the movie. Got a little movie thing. Just watch the movie. And we actually laughed, I think, at first, like, did this really just happen? And then we got mad, and then we got angry, and I called just a mentor pastor of mine. If y'all were here for the marriage month, Mike Clarenceall and his wife, Carrie. Mike was my first pastor when I was a youth pastor. He's just super mentor in my life, and I called him, and I'm like, told him what happened, and he just laughed and said, well, that's another chapter for your book one day. I'm like, yeah, thanks. And long story short, we just felt determined. We felt called to Bakersfield, and so we went. We walked into chaos. You would think after 18 months that we'd walk into this wonderful, wonderful thing and that everything was going to be great, and we walked into a really dysfunctional situation in church, and we were there for 8 months, but during that time, they got a new pastor, and it became clear after a while that he just different guy. He wasn't the guy that hired me, different passion. I literally handed in my letter of resignation the first week I started there. That was just kind of old school what you did in ministry, Dan, am I right? You know, some churches still do that where when the senior pastor resigns, the rest of the staff hands in their resignation. So when the new guy comes in, he can keep who he wants and he can get rid of who he doesn't want. Kind of sounds messed up. It is, actually. They don't really do that anymore at a lot of churches, but at this one they still did. So I'm serious. The first week I started, I literally wrote a letter of resignation to give to the board. And so, but we ended up leaving, but we came here. You know, the door opened. I knew Jeremy. He was a youth pastor on the west side of Wichita when I was on the east side. So we knew each other and we found out about this. And it's been amazing here. We love it here. And I just share that story to say, sometimes we get stripped of all the robe and all the things that we just love. But guys, as hard as that was, I mean, it was tough. Was it not, Ellie? It was difficult. I would go through it all again because we know that it's helped us now, but it's also helping us in this heart we have for other ministers. That I can now sit down with the guy whose pastor left. That I can sit down with the ones who got, you know, walked away from a position and they don't know what to do next. And all these different things. And just know that whatever your calling is, whatever God's calling you to do, if this preparation time has been difficult for some of you, it's worth it. It's painful, but God's using it. He'll use every bit of that pain. He'll use every bit of that if you'll just keep looking to him and keep trusting him. Amen? All right. Well, number four, your season of preparation will set you up and equip you for the fulfillment of the vision and call on your life, as we were just saying, right? The season of preparation, no matter how long it's been, it's going to set you up. You do not yet know what you need to do or what he has for you to do. For some of you guys, you may feel like that. You may feel like, man, I don't know yet, but he's going to show you in his timing. It may take 2 months. It may take 20 years. I don't know, but he's going to show you and he's going to use you in the meantime, right? Your preparation may take you into a cistern that's void of water, just like it did Joseph. But he has a calling, and he's gonna use you on so many levels. It may not look like what you thought it would or it should, right? You know, it's you first get that call, you first get that feeling, that vision from the Lord for what you feel called to do, and you get excited about it. And then it goes just down these other avenues and down these goes to these other seasons. But just keep trusting the Lord. I want to finish with this quote, and I love this quote. It's from Frederick Bucher. He says, the place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. And I just want to go back to what I said at the beginning, guys, that each of you are called. Each of you are a solution to some situation, to some people group, to wherever that may be. to something in this world, to some calling. God has such an incredible calling on all of your lives. And my heart is that as we close up next week, as we commission you guys, that you'll step out in faith. You've learned a lot over these three semesters. We've given you a lot of information. Don't sit on that information. Don't sit on what God's taught you. Don't sit on your calling. Please, I beg you. There's the most miserable people in this world are those who are not following their calling. You know, I've got buddies that I went to Bible college with 20 years ago, and it got rough, and they quit, and they walked away. And they're some of the most miserable people, and they know it, and they know why, because they're not still running after that calling. And they got hurt. Absolutely, they got hurt. Was it their fault? In most situations, no, it wasn't their fault. But man, don't sit on it. God has called you, and he has so much for you. It doesn't matter what season you are in life. He's not done with you. He's got a beautiful calling for your life. Amen? Awesome. Well, guys, this week, before I close in prayer, just want to show you guys just the faith in action. It asks some really great questions. You know, describe the moment that you heard him call you into ministry. What did you feel? Describe, write that down. Here's the deal, too. I learned as a missionary in France. Keisha can tell you it's beautiful, right? It's awesome. Well, when you live there, it's not always beautiful, I can tell you that. You know, there were moments when I couldn't communicate. There were moments, some tough moments there, and I had to go back to my calling. So write your calling down. Write what God's told you. Keep it in a space where you can keep going back to it. It's so important. How are you handling that call? What are you doing with it? Write those things out. Pray about those things. It says here, have you had wrong motives in proclaiming it to others? Have you shared those things that should have been pondered in your heart alone, right? And then finally, what is God speaking to you about the season of preparation or seasons of preparation you have experienced or are experiencing? What next step do you need to take in order to learn, grow from this season so that you may be equipped for your call? Go through those questions. Answer them. I want to encourage you, too, if you're just like, Pastor Stephen, I don't know. Here I am going. Don't be discouraged. If you're at the end of Grow Track 3 and you're still like, I don't know. I don't know what my calling is. Come talk to me. Come talk to Pastor Talia. We love you guys. Or if you're struggling with that calling or you're confused by it or you have questions, come and meet with us because we've been there and we want to pray with you. We want God to bring complete clarity to that in your life. The enemy wants to confuse you on it. He wants to discourage you. He wants you to be fearful, and that's not what God has for you. And so I just encourage you guys with that too as we move forward. Don't hesitate to call us because we want to pray with you guys and walk through that with you. And why don't we stand real quick? Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, go for it. Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. Did you really have to drop me in that cistern? That hurt, right? That's so good. That's so true. And, well, guys, why don't you stand? I want to pray for you. I'm so excited about next week and really beyond what God's going to be doing and in your lives and just seeing what God's already speaking to you guys and what he's going to do beyond next week and in the semesters to come. Be listening to him. Just know that you can step out in faith. You can step out and risk some things and trust that he's going to be there with you. He's called you. He's equipped you. I look around this room. I have no doubt that there in this room are incredible coaches, team leaders. I could name lots of things here on this campus that you guys are ready for if you're not already doing that. But even beyond this campus, you know, what God may be calling you to do off this campus. That there could be some of you in this room that God's calling you to ministry, that weeks, months, years down the road, that you're on staff at Timber Creek or somewhere else because God's called you, and it began right here at Grow Track 3, that he's called you to another land, that he's calling you into missions to live that lifestyle and to serve him in that capacity. That could be in this room, I have no doubt. But listen to the Lord. And be willing to chase after him and what he's got for you in this calling that he's got, okay? Let me pray for you. Lord, I look around this room and I love these folks. God, just, I knew a lot of them before Grow Track, but now I've gotten to know them even more. God, just hearing them share, not just this semester, but over the last year, year and a half, God. You've done so much. You've done a great work in these guys, and you're not done. Next week's going to be a special moment, a special time that we have together to celebrate, but also to commission every single one of us to step out and run after you, God, with all the things you have equipped us with this semester and the last year and a half. But God, I see vessels in this room that are ready, God. And God, you know, some of us may still be needing to empty some things out and need to be need to have the strength, the faith, the courage to kind of let go of some things, God, to be fully obedient, fully surrendered. And I pray that they would do that, God. I pray for anyone in this room that's still holding on to some things, still fearful, God, still doubting themselves, still holding on to the insecurities and inadequacies that they think they have. God, you want to use every person in this room. Every person in this room is called to something. They are a solution, God, and them only to something, to someone, God, in certain ways, in multiple ways. Lord God, I pray that you would call them. For those in this room that are still wondering, God, what do you have for me? God, would you make that clear, God? Begin to make that clear as they continue to just run after you, God. And God, as they're waiting in the meantime, that they would just fall more and more in love with you and learn to continually abide in you, Jesus, so that when the moment comes, you make it very clear what their calling is. God, for those that are just fearful and they've been sitting on that calling, God, I pray that they would be just excited and finally feel that nudge to say, now's the time. I've got to trust you, God. I'm scared, but I'm going to trust you. You've equipped me, and you're going to continue to equip me. God, let them be encouraged. Let them be strengthened tonight, God. But God, I thank you for these students. God, I thank you for their commitment, God, to you this semester. God, we've thrown a lot of stuff at them. We put some big commitments and asked some big things of them. And God, I know for a lot of them, God, they're busy, God. They've got families. They've got jobs. They've got just life. And God, some of them have had to walk through the cost of what it means to be fully obedient to you. And God, I pray that they will continue to trust you through those things that it's cost us. But God, it's the blessing that comes with that far outweighs what it cost us. And God, would you make all things new, God, on the other side of it, Lord. God, just continue to bless us and use us for your glory, God. It's all completely about you and about people coming to know Jesus and living in an eternity with you, God, and not living in an eternity separated from you. God, help us to remember that and understand that. But God, I pray that you would use every calling and every individual in this room for your glory and for your name. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Guys, we love you. Y'all have a good rest of the week.